Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay. I'm your host, and I'm pumped to be here. Now it's official. We have two episodes on YouTube. Oh, man, that's a long time dream. I mean, I've been doing this podcast since 2017. We're like 8 years into doing this podcast. Sure, there's breaks, there's gaps. We've got employment gaps in the podcast. My podcast might have a hard time getting another job just based on the employment gaps. But we've been keeping it going. We've been doing it for 10 years. No, 8 years. And it's still going, and that feels good. And now we finally made it to YouTube, and I'm very happy with the amount of views that it's getting. Now, I'll tell you a thing I never do. I never go into the analytics and look up how long people are watching things. I don't know why people do that to themselves. You'd think you would drive yourself insane doing that. I just look at the views and I go, this looks good to me. I'm very excited about that. So I appreciate you guys watching it. Appreciate you guys getting in there watching it. I mean, it doesn't even seem as though it's affected the normal downloads. It seems like the normal downloads are even up. And now we also have the addition of the YouTube video. It's amazing. I'm so pumped about what's happening. And so I was like, you know, I go, okay, now we got it out there. People are watching it. We got to start taking this thing serious. We got to really get in there, do some research, try to plan out an episode. So I sat down and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to plan an episode. And then I didn't do it. And then I got on ChatGPT and I asked ChatGPT for 10 suggestions for me on my podcast. And they were stupid. They were really stupid suggestions. ChatGPT is so stupid. And I hope they're listening to me. It's just dumb. I know it'll get better, and one day it probably will take over the world. But I'm not into it. I mean, I'm going to use it because there is some things it does that I like. I've been anti-AI. I fought it for a very short time. But now this is a big thing happened to me recently, and it's made me really like what AI is doing. And maybe that's the plan. They got to get us all a certain way. I found this AI app where you can make songs. Now, basically, it seems like you can just tell it what kind of song you're looking for. I'm looking for a song about, you know, dogs, and I want it to be a country song, and it'll make that song. But that's not what I want to do. I'm not looking for that. I've been writing poems and lyrics for years. I don't do it that much anymore because I have comedy now. I have comedy, and that has really taken over my writing creativity, right? But I used to write a lot of poems, and I've wrote a few songs here and there, but, you know, nobody, you know, I send them to people, and maybe they're not good, and that's okay. But people never seem that interested in them. I did have one song, a couple of people took a couple of stabs at it, and I like what they were doing, but every person seem to be trying to make it their own, which is fine because they're all songwriters, they're all performers, and I get it. But it was not what I was looking for. So I typed my lyrics into AI, and then it just pumped out a song. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to play. And I made several versions of this, but I'm just going to play a little bit of the song that AI wrote based on how I described it to AI and the lyrics I wrote.
I grew up in a trailer, some call it a mobile home.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And then I also have a rap song that I did. I wrote a rap song about 20 years ago. And it's not doing the rap song exactly like I want it to do. But let's see if we can, let's see if we can just get a little bit of it here. He's a slow walker, slow talker. No, that's not it. Like, who am I, a DJ now? Right? I mean, the song needs work because it's not doing the song how I have it in my head, right? So, but I'm just saying, it's really great. I mean, you know, just like with posters or anything else that I've been thinking about, it's like I have these ideas and I don't necessarily have the tools to create them. So I've always been reliant on other people to make these things come to life for me. And now, and so now, this is some kind of opportunity to bring those things to life. Is that bad? Is there a darkness to it? I don't know. Maybe. But so far, I saw one video, and I've already talked about it, but one video that changed my perspective on the whole thing, where it's like, yeah, we're making this AI out to be something that it's not. It's just a really good programming algorithm. Or a really good Googling algorithm, right? And, you know, there's plenty of arguments to be made. There's plenty of things I'm against. And one thing I'm against is these things. Cell phones, I'm against them. Especially these black mirror conjuring devices that we have in our pockets. These phones that we can now speak to, and we have been able to for some time, where we can speak in there, we go, hey, and I don't even want to say the name, but hey, whatever your name is, find me this. And then it just does it. Like, that's mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? I mean, that's what that is. We're conjuring up answers here. So I'm not for it. But I don't know what to do about it because, you know, when I'm in the airport and I need to, I've just landed and I got another connecting flight, I sit on there that few minutes before they finally open the doors and let us off the plane. I sit there. I go, okay, I'm at this gate. My next flight is at this gate. And if it's not clear, a lot of these airports I know pretty well. But if it's not clear, I can look up the map, figure out how to do it, navigate very easily. I don't have to get out and look at the TV screen and go, where am I at now when I'm getting my bags, if I need to switch flights, if I get delayed and I need to, you know, try to work something else out, I can. If I suddenly decide that I don't want to Uber around all weekend, that I just want to get a rental car, I can do that real quick before I'm even off the plane and then just go right to the garage and get the car. And it's like all of these things that I'm saying are just conveniences, right? There are other ways around them. But when you're kind of in the world where everybody's using these conveniences, you just look old and out of touch if you're not using them. Not to mention, you're making your life a lot harder. And sometimes it is too hard to navigate without these things. I mean, Google Maps is unbelievable. That's why, you know, when people are like, let me know if you have recommendations for restaurants, it's like, if you just send me recommendations, I'll check them out. But otherwise, I'm not going to ask because I'm going to be at my hotel and I'm going to pull up Google Maps and I'm going to type in food near me. And then if there's food near me that I like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to a town and I'm going to go cigars near me. And that's what I'm Googling out here. Grocery store near me. But it's like there's no need for recommendations. And I feel like this joke's been overdone by people, but even asking for directions, like, you know, like if you're hanging out with people and they're older and they're like, all right, we're going to go to this restaurant tonight. And you go, okay, cool. And then they go, you never been there, right? And then they start telling you how to get there. And it's like, unless you know that it's not showing up on Google Maps, then I got it. I'll be fine. And it's almost like when people start giving me directions, it's like when people tell me specials in a restaurant. You're talking, but I'm not listening. I'm shaking my head. I'm going, that sounds good. Ooh, but when you're done, I'm going to do whatever I was going to do before you started talking. And that's just how it is. This technology's moving. And I had a guy just recently create a poster for me, and I like it better than everything AI was doing. It's amazing. It was really great. But before I got there, I went through two other artists that I like, that I think are good, but they weren't seeing my vision. And, you know, I've already talked about this too, but I feel obligated to give them money too. And it's like, it's just so much because people are putting work into it. I don't want people to work because their art is good. It's just not the vision that I was liking. And the same for, you know, so many things, but like with this AI, this song, I mean, if somebody goes to the trouble to record the song that I wrote, I can't be like, I don't like it. I got to be like, oh, this is great. But with AI, I put it in the song. I put the song in, comes back. I don't like it. I do it again. I keep running it. I change the prompts a little bit. I like it. I'm into it. I don't think that, if I'm in college and I'm just asking this to write my paper, I don't think that's good, because now you're not even critically thinking or thinking creatively. You're just going, hey, do my work for me. But with this, I can't play. Listen, I can't play an instrument. I realize that I could start right now, and in 10 years, if I worked real hard at it, I'd probably be pretty good at guitar. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get better at guitar. I'm not going to learn to play the drums. I'm not going to learn to play the piano. If anything I've learned, it's that I'm not going to do those things. In high school, I took guitar class, and then I couldn't play guitar. I wasn't practicing, but it also just didn't come natural to me. My dad told me one time that I see what he's saying, but I wish that he didn't say it, but it's like, he's talking about people having a natural talent for guitar. Some people can just pick it up and start playing it. And you've heard those people, probably a Jimi Hendrix, a Eric Clapton, a Dwayne Allman. There's probably many others, but I would think those sorts of people picked it up right away and were crushing it. But for me, it didn't come that way. But this being said to me discouraged me and made me go, all right, well, maybe he's right. Maybe guitar's not for me. If I can't just pick it up and start playing, maybe it's not for me. And I do think that was bad advice. But that being said, I have learned at this point in my life that I'm not going to play it. I took guitar class in high school. I wasn't practicing. I wasn't working hard at it. I did all right the first, kind of the first lesson. And then I was bombing out of there. And I wanted to get out of the class. I was actually going to leave the class early. And so I talked to the guy about it, and he was okay with it. And I said, for my final exam, though, can I just write my own song? Right, because I'm never going to learn, what is it, green leaves or green tea or something. There's some song that seemed real hard, and I was like, I'm not going to learn it. So he said, yes, I'll let you do that, but you have to perform it in front of the class. Oh, I forgot to say that prior to this, I had been an asset to him in the class. Like, we were learning the song Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton, and he wanted us to do a full band, really play the whole song. And so I volunteered to sing, even though I'm not a good singer. I do think there were a couple of girls that were very impressed by my singing, and I should have kept it going. But I sang Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton in front of the class with the band, And so I was already on his good side. He liked me. He didn't think I was a good singer, but he did like me and he appreciated that I did that. Mr. Orr was his name. And so for my final exam, he let me write and play my own song. And that reminds me, I have that song written down somewhere and I'm going to put that into AI and I'm going to bring that to life. But I got out of the class. He did not give me a good grade, but it wasn't a failing grade. It was I think it was somewhere around a C or a B, which was fair. I should have failed, but he was nice to me. But I just have learned that about myself. I bought harmonicas over the years. I bought a banjo one time for $220. Then I traded it to a guy for a fiddle with no bow, and then I sold that fiddle for $50. So instruments, that's not the thing for me. I've owned all kinds of instruments. I had a guitar at my house. I don't even know how I got it. But my friend would come over, and every time he would come over, he would pick up the guitar and he would strum it. And he would just hang out and strum it. And one day I told him, I said, when you leave today, take that guitar with you and never bring it back here. I can't handle it. I've dated musicians. I've been around it. And I've always wanted to create some songs. But people don't want to create songs with me. I wrote a song with a guy. I did a podcast where I wrote a song with a guy. But he was taken over. I liked him, and I'm not trashing him. But he invited me over to do this podcast where we write a song. I don't even know if the podcast ever came out. It sounded fun to me, and it was fun. I enjoyed it, and I really liked what we wrote. But then when it finally came out, I was like, you know what? I'm not into this. I don't like what he's done with this. So maybe I could get those lyrics and write that, but that might be, I don't know. I did write on it, so. But I just want to be able to create my own songs. And so I have, I've decided to utilize AI to help me do that. I'm also looking for an animator. I got a bit. A letters of the alphabet bit. It's on YouTube. There's a couple of lines in there I don't like and I want to take out. Some I think are useless lines. Others, I don't think any of it is offensive or bad. But some I could see someone somewhere being like, I don't care for this. Even though it's nothing. They're nothing lines. But it's a little dirtier than I would like. But I've had people want me to do a children's book around it and do this and do that. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. But by the time you change it to be children's appropriate, I'm like, is this even funny anymore? Part of what's funny to me about it is that it's letters of the alphabet with human characteristics, and then it gets a little dirty. That's what I like about it. So if I go changing it to be cleaner, then I just think I'm making it super lame. But I'd love to have an animator. I'd love some. People always are animating stand-up clips. I had a deal with a guy one time. He was going to do it for me. This was years ago. And the amount of money he was charging me, I thought was fair, but it was more money than I was willing to spend on it. So I wasn't trying to negotiate with the guy, but I was like, not right now. Now, that was 8 years ago. So it's a little different now, but I also know that things cost more. So I expect it to cost more if he wanted to do it. But he just said he thinks it's too long and he doesn't want to do something so long. And I get it too. I get it. But I'd love to have that animated because it's on an album. And the reason I recorded it and put it on that album is because I never wanted to do it again. I was like, the moment I recorded that, I was like, that feels good. And then I think I did it a couple more times at shows, and it's a risky bit where it's like, if the audience is on board, it's a lot of fun. But if they're not, they're like, what is he talking about? So that's why I just want to animate it so you got a little something going with it. What I'd like to have is a guy that looks like me standing on stage talking like he's telling the joke, but then also animating the letters a little bit. And I know there are people that can do it. But so far, no one's done it. And that's okay. But I would like to see that happen. So if you're an animator and listening and you're interested in that, let's do it. I did want to, I thought, you know, it might be funny if I could do some kind of react videos. I don't want to do a lot of that, but I you know, but every once in a while, you know, I get on TikTok late at night and I find things that I think are funny or I think are weird. And I don't have enough of them now, but in the weeks to come, that's what I'm going to try to do. I'll try to do a little segment of that where I get a few things that I like. I mean, because there is one video that I've watched a bunch of times and it makes me laugh so much. But it's this lady, she's on a golf cart. She's probably in her late 40s, and she's obviously drunk, and she's pulling up to a house on a golf cart, looking at her phone, and she crashes into the house, and it throws her up almost over the steering wheel. She falls out on the ground. She gets up, and let's see, let's watch it. I'm going to watch a little bit of it here. Yeah, here she comes, crashes into the house, falls out, golf cart starts rolling back. Some version, she's cussing. She gets up, slowly gets up, gets back in the cart, hits the gas, boom, back in, falls again. And then a lady comes out and says, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I just hit your house. And you know, I've seen it too many times for it to really make me laugh. But that kind of stuff cracks me up. That's the kind of drinking I was doing, where you're like, you're drinking middle of the day. You're hammered. It's lunchtime. And, you know, you've wrecked the golf cart into the house twice. You don't care. And then your friend inside is drunk enough to where they don't care either. And that's partying. That's life. That's what I'm all about. I'm into it. Let's see what else I wrote down. I wrote down two things. Oh, here's another video I saw. I don't have the video. I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. I watched a video last night, and this guy talking about this, and he was talking about this in, you know, another state. And as he was talking about it, I was like, that sounds like a story I heard when I was a kid. So I'm thinking either these stories just go around about every river, lake, dam around the country, or it's true. And it very well could be true. But in this story, this would be in the Tallapoosa River, I believe. Who knows? Tallapoosa River, I believe, is what they were talking about. Around where I grew up, there's a few things like that. There's also Chimney Rock and Lake Martin. So it could have been Lake Martin, too. And thinking of it now, being a lake actually makes a little more sense. But I also think they were talking about the river. So we'll just say it could be either or. Could be both. And they were saying that there was a car accident in the river. And the car sank down real low, and they had to go down in scuba diving gear to look for the car. And they said while they were down there looking for this car, a shadowy figure came above them, and it was a giant catfish. And they're saying there's catfish the size of cars in the bottom of the Tallapoosa River / Lake Martin. And I just remember being like, oh, man, that was like some, you know, just mystic. Might as well have been a ghost story just talking about those giant fish. You know, this guy was telling the same story. He was saying it was catfish the size of a Volkswagen, I believe. And I just feel like I've heard that catfish adapt to the size of a body of water that they're into. Like if they're in a little aquarium, they're never going to get very big. If they're in a small pond, they'll get, you know, bigger than that. But if they're in a lake or a river that goes who knows how deep, they could get really huge. And that's pretty insane to me. It's just so wild. And when you think about that, I mean, I used to swim. I only went to Lake Martin one time that I remember. I actually remember I was, it was a graduation party of some sort. It was somebody's senior trip. I remember I was dressed very inappropriately. Like I was wearing a t-shirt that had the F word on it. And it was very nice people hosting us at this thing. And, you know, I was in my rebellious phase of high school, my second half of my senior year. I was a train wreck. I made the worst grades that I ever made because I just did not care anymore. I could not wait to get out of school. I enjoyed school. I enjoyed being around people. And honestly, I enjoyed being around that many women all day. It's like there's never been a scenario in my life like that again. I can't believe I was so quick to want to give that up. It was just fun. But this, you know, I was becoming a real train wreck. I was bleaching my hair all the time. I wore a lot of skull t-shirts, flame boots, and I had a shirt, and I stole the shirt. I stole the shirt, but I will say this. I messaged the girl that I stole it from not long ago, and I got her Venmo, and I paid her money for the shirt. I don't think she cared, but I needed to right the wrong, so I paid her money for the shirt. I overpaid, but That's a penalty to me for stealing it from her. But it was a regular white t-shirt and it had like a face on it with the, you know, like a smiley face, but the X's were the eyes were X's. And then it said S-I-C-F-U-K. No, S-I-C-F-U-C. And I thought it was just the coolest shirt in the world. I just was like, man, this is an awesome t-shirt. So I used to wear it around. That was the kind of thing I was into. I shaved my eyebrows one time and I would turn my hat around backwards and I would pull that way I could pull my hair back and then I'd walk around and you could just see no eyebrows. I looked insane. That's the kind of stuff I was into. I love that. There's some videos that come across TikTok now that tell you how to walk into a room to make sure that you keep the eyes on you. And I'm like, man, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have loved to have seen that video. But now I'm looking for the way to make an entrance that almost no one knows that I came in. That's what I'm looking to do now. But I was wearing this shirt at this senior trip. Senior trip, senior party, very nice people. And I also was doing a little bit of drugs at the time. And me and some other friends took a couple of little paper hits of acid. And we went out to the lake. We went out on a boat. We got off. We climbed up Chimney Rock and jumped off. I jumped off two times. I had never been to Chimney Rock, but I grew up very country and jumping off all kind of stuff, but I'd never been to Chimney Rock. So I jumped, it's very high. I got a picture of myself jumping off very high. And I had my legs open basically. And when I hit the water hit me in the crotch, like someone kicked me there. And I had a hard time swimming back to the boat. And I got to the boat, rested up, and I wanted to do it again. So I went back up and jumped, and then I basically held myself like a Michael Jackson dance as I jumped off. I thought it was hilarious. All inappropriate. I was, just a very inappropriate person. But that was my only experience there at Chimney Rock and Lake Martin. But Tallapoosa River, I used to go to all the time. There was a nice entranceway pretty close to where my dad lived. So we rode our bikes down there a couple of times. And then when we got older, we rode our four-wheelers down there. And my dad always told us, he goes, don't get in this water because there's rip currents and suck holes. That doesn't sound right. But there's all kind of stuff like that that could pull you under and people drown out here. And I was very afraid of it. But just like everything else in my life, I was afraid of it until other people got in and were having fun. I was like, oh, okay, well, I want to do that too. There was a rope swing out there, and it used to be where the ferry would go. So the road went right down to it, and then you'd drive on the ferry, and then it would take you across. And now it's just kind of a way for people to get in the river. And we used to swim out there all the time. I loved it. But then I'm thinking back, and I'm like, man, there's catfish in there like that. They could have ate us up out there. And it makes me think about the ocean, right? If there are fish, like there are goldfish that are like this, various other fish that grow to the size of their tanks. Now, I'm told, if you look at a globe, that the ocean takes up most of the globe. Whether you believe it's a globe or not, it takes up most of the globe. 70% water, is that it? 80% water? And then what I've been told is that they've been able to go deep down 7 miles into the ocean before they couldn't go down any further, but it still continued to go. That's what I've been told. So if that's true, how big could things possibly be in the ocean? I mean, that is insane how big things could be. Because think about the whales and the things that we know about. But those are just the things we know about. What survives deep, deep, deep down like that? It's crazy to think about. I was watching some National Geographic of some sort, and I feel like there were these humpback whales swimming to safety, mom and a kid, and then there were these killer whales that came upon them in the middle of the ocean, and these killer whales killed the baby. And I think they killed the baby and ate just like a small amount of the meat. And then the baby whale sank to the bottom of the ocean. And then once it made it to the bottom of the ocean, all of the, wherever they were at, I don't think it was 7 miles deep where they were at, but then other creatures of the ocean ate off of that whale. So when you saw it happen, you go, first off, this is very sad. Second off, what a waste. You killed this whale for this little bit of meat here. But then you see it goes to the bottom and then it feeds all of those other animals. Still sad, but what a cycle of life. Like, it must happen in order for those other things to survive. That has to happen. The ocean is insane. I mean, I love to swim in the ocean. I love to get in there. I love the salt water. I love the heat. I love the waves. So fun. I love the East Coast. I've never swam in the West Coast, but I love the East Coast and the Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America, whatever it's called now. I like that area. But the ocean, I mean, it's a terrifying place. I mean, to think that there are sharks, there are stingrays, there are jellyfish, there are barracudas, but also like bacteria. I don't know what, a friend of mine just got married, and then she's posting on the internet that she contracted some sort of bacteria that dang near killed her. But no info. She's like, I went on my honeymoon and came back and I had this sickness. I'm like, well, where'd you go? You know, I know you're maybe not trying to bring bad press to where you were at, but go ahead and hit us up. Let us know. Be like, don't go to that place. There's a flesh-eating bacteria there. That's what I'm saying. Like, don't withhold the info. Go ahead and let us know what happened. But that's in the ocean too, that kind of stuff. But yet we're like, oh, fun day. And I've never really had any problems in the ocean. I got stung by a jellyfish once in Charleston, but I think it was a pretty mild sting. And since then, I've not liked the ocean in August. Feels like the ocean, East Coast at least, gets a little warm, a little seaweedy, a little jellyfishy. And I'm not into it. But there are so many wild things in the ocean. And we just go out there and we go swimming in it. And if you think about, I didn't follow up much on these stories, but there are stories of people jumping off cruise ships. I feel like there was one where it was a pretty young kid, like his friends dared him to jump off, and he jumped off the cruise ship at night into the ocean. And I got to think that kid's dead, right? I mean, there's no coming back from that. Because what I'm told is that these cruise ships and all kinds of other ships just dump food and waste out in the middle of the ocean. All the pooping being done on the cruise ship, they just dump it right out there. Because apparently there are laws against that until you get so far out in the ocean, and there's no real law against it. So you can do whatever you want. So they just dump it. So then all these other fish and sharks and stuff like that are following these cruise ships around just eating this stuff. So if you jump off, they're getting you. The water's probably cold. It's rough, especially at night. You just watch the cruise ship sail away, even if they wanted to get you. How fast could they turn around? Oh, it's terrifying. Open water. Like, I don't even, there's movies about it where people are trapped in the open water. Who wants to watch this terrifying thing? I was watching Andy Griffith last night. The opening scene, Barney was napping in the back room, and Andy put the blanket over him and then put the corners of the blanket under the bed frame and then woke Barney up. And when Barney woke up, he couldn't get out of the blanket because the corners were trapped. And that was too much for me. I was like, I'm too weirdly claustrophobic for you to be. I can't even watch that stuff. I don't like it. I don't want to be trapped. I don't like being trapped in a thing like that. I've had moments where I get my arms caught up too much in a t-shirt I'm trying to put on, and it's a freak out for a second. I don't like that stuff. A straight jacket, I couldn't do it. And yeah, I mean, all of this stuff, it's just, but the open water thing, like I'm doing this Nate Land cruise. And I'm pumped to hang out with these dudes. I'm pumped to do that, but I don't know where I'm at with a cruise these days. I mean, I only did one cruise in my life, and back then I was a heavy drinker and I drank the whole time. I don't know where I'm at with a cruise. I'm assuming it's going to be fine and fun, but cruises are not my thing. I'm not a boater. I got control issues, I think, for boats. People want you to go out on a boat with them, and then you're like out there, and you're like, I just want to go back now. I don't want to be out here with these people anymore. Because you're out on a boat, you go out with people, and then you're out there, and you're like, I don't want to hang out with these people all day. I'm trying to get away. But you're trapped. There's nowhere to go. I used to have a buddy. He'd want me to go boating all the time, and then he'd want me to split the gas, and then he'd want me to help him wash it. I'm like, you invited me to go boating. And then they would complain, oh, everybody wants to go on the boat, but nobody wants to help clean. I'm like, you asked me to go on the boat. I didn't even want to go. You were like, come on, man. And now I'm washing your boat after an 18-pack, especially not drinking. What is the point? Maybe if I had my own boat where I got to control it, I got to run the show, I could take my kids out there, we'd go fishing. I bet that's fun. My dad had a little boat with a trolling motor on it that we could take around the pond a little bit, but he never would let us have the trolling motor. We always had to have, you know, if we went out, we had to paddle, which is a small pond, so it didn't make much difference. But, you know, the kind of water I used to swim in, just thinking about that, we used to go out on that little boat, and then we'd get in the middle of the pond, we'd get off. But my dad told me that his dad wanted to build a pond there, and they told him that it wouldn't be a good spot for a pond because the ground was too soft and that it wouldn't hold the water well. But my dad decided to build a pond there anyway later, and it, you know, it's been there my whole life. So, you know, that's 43 years at this point, and he built it before then. But I remember getting out of that boat. It's not very deep. It'd be a little deeper than my head, but you would go down, and the bottom of the pond would be so soft and muddy. And Once it flooded and these giant grass carp got washed out, and we were little kids trying to put the grass carp back in the pond, and they were so heavy. I mean, we were little kids, but they were so heavy. In Auburn, there was a state park called Chewaka. I don't know what it's called. I don't even know if I remember how I pronounced it and if I ever knew how it was pronounced. Chewaka. And you could pay $1 to go to this park and swim in the lake. Or you could drive around to the other side, pay nothing, and swim across. And it was pretty far. When I was a kid, we would just pay the dollar. But when I was, you know, in my more reckless, you know, paper hit acid, SICFUC t-shirt phase, I was driving around to the back of the lake and swimming across. I was in very good shape, despite the things that I was into. And you would swim to this platform where it had a diving board and then a high dive. And it was a blast. I mean, that water was disgusting, but it was a blast. We used to go out there and we would just swim and swim and swim. And the high dive, if you got up on the high dive and you jumped off and you did a toothpick, you could go straight down to the bottom, and then you would sink into about, you know, depending on how good you jump, you'd, you know, 6 inches of mud. It'd be cool mud on a hot day. And I love doing that. But I think about that today, and I'm like, man, that is gross, dangerous, and I wouldn't do it. But man, I used to do it all the time. I used to swim in so many nasty little water holes. I'd get in any water. And after high school, that's around about the same time, there was a rock quarry somewhere around where I lived in Opelika that we all were going swimming in. Not everybody was swimming in it. Some people were just hanging out down there. I smoked some like legal weed that'll really like trip you out. It's not good. Don't ever do those sorts of things. But I jumped off. Don't do any of these things, any of these swimming in the water holes, any of these substances. I jumped off the side of this rock quarry down into the water. It was a pretty high jump, but it was great. I loved it. Had a blast doing it. But, you know, somebody told me a story later, and it wasn't at that one, but they said they jumped off the side into a rock quarry, landed in the water, perfect. And then they felt something beside them. And it was a big piece of rebar that was sticking out of the bottom of the quarry and up. And it's like, he said, like, had I dove like 6 inches over to the right, I would have landed right on that thing. Oh, that's terrifying. Terrifying. But man, it's like, that's why, listen, I always talk about God on this podcast, and I'm always, but God has been protecting me. I've been praying for it. I've been asking for it, and he has been protecting me. Because the stuff that I've done to make it this far, it's a real blessing. And, yeah, I mean, it's just wild. I mean, I remember following a creek down. There's a creek near my dad's land. Matter of fact, I just bought some land near my dad's land. That used to be owned by my uncle. My uncle sold it. I think I've talked about it on that, on here. But it's got a creek on it. I remember when we were kids going down that creek, and it's just, you know, it's, you know, calf deep most of the way. But as we followed it down onto other people's land, it started to get real deep. And we kind of like certain areas was like, you know, up to our neck swimming in it. And we used to do that all the time. Just, it wasn't even a big deal. We didn't even think about it. We were like, yeah, of course, this is what we do. And, you know, then you watch movies like Stand By Me and they get in that mud hole and they get all these leeches on them. We never had any of that. We might get a tick or something out there. And then my dad, people are often confused by this, and I get the confusion. My parents were divorced. I lived in Opelika with my mom. I spent, all week, because I went to school in Opelika with my mom, every week with my mom, and then every other weekend I was with my mom. And then every other weekend, so meaning 4 days a month, I went to my dad's house in Pennon outside of Lafette, Alabama. And so when I talk about a trampoline and a pool and four-wheelers, it was all at my dad's house that I got to play with 4 days a month. And then, you know, every other week during the summer. So I rotated weeks during the summer. Now, at my mom's house, we had tons of stuff to do, too. I mean, we had woods, and there was plenty of, I mean, I used to, there was a place called Big Rock. We named it that. And it's a gigantic rock next to a creek in the woods. I have some video footage. We did some video of it not long ago, and I don't have the video currently, and we've not done anything with it. But it's really great video. Got a lot of footage of it. But me and my friend Costa would go back to this creek, and they had a little waterfall. And me, you know, me and all my friends, but I specifically remember taking Costa there a bunch of times, but all my friends would go there. Kenneth and James and Brandon and Greg, all these friends I grew up with in the trailer park, we would go out there. And the waterfall would come down, and it would make like this really cool, clear pool. You know, the waterfall was short, but it was also very like movie-like, very picturesque, because the water was clear and there'd be little fish in it. And we'd go down there and just swim around in that water, and it was beautiful. And then you could walk, you could follow the creek down and till you reach Big Rock. And Big Rock, it was huge. And it was just, you know, a beautiful time. Now, since then, that area has been developed, and the Big Rock is still there, but it just seems polluted. It seems dirty. It just seems like a real shame. The rock is still there, but the creek is not the same. And it's too bad. There is no respect for anything anymore. There's no respect for anything. And it's too bad. But I'll just, the reason that I brought up that stuff about my parents' divorce and my mom and my dad is because we used to swim in all these dirty swimming holes all over the place. But my dad had a pool. My dad built a pool that he kept clean that we could swim in at any time. And we did swim in it a ton. We just loved swimming. That's in the summer. I mean, we love to swim. But there is no respect for anything out here these days. People get into climate change. I'm not a big climate change guy. I don't buy a lot of the information. But I am against pollution. I am against trashing things. I feel like if you analyze like the animal kingdom and the just, it's like everything, plants, animals, their whole goal is to make new life. Everything is about making new life to get the next generation. It's like their whole goal is to reproduce. And humans were like, you know, and I was like this too. I have kids now, but I was like this. We're like, we're not going to have kids. We're just not going to do it. And I just think that's a weird choice that we make because we just decide we're not going to do it. Whereas all life seems to exist to recreate itself. But then I think along with that, there comes this thing, especially with humans, where we should be like, I want to sacrifice everything that I have to sacrifice to make life better for the next generation. Not just a vague next generation, like your very own kids. Like you're like, I want to make life better for this generation. I want them to have it better than me. I want to leave the world in a better place, a safer place, a nicer place. And I want things to be better for this generation than they were for me. And I feel like that's the way that it's been for a long time. Now, I've not been alive in these generations, so I don't know. But I just feel like leading up to this point, every generation wanted life to be better for their kids than life was for them. But I feel like we've reached this place now where we're like, where we kind of have this, I'm going to get mine mentality, where like kids have become a burden to everyone. Kids are in the way of the fun that they want to do. And that's, I don't find that to be the case for me at all because, you know, I'm in my 40s before I had kids, you know what I mean? So I've done a lot of things, but I just feel like there is a mentality, even amongst good parents. Sometimes I talk to people and it just seems like they're like, and I don't know if they just do it in a jokey way just to be fun, because I get that. Sometimes you make a joke and you're like, nah, I just did that to be funny in the moment and I don't really believe that. But you just do it. And I wonder if that's what people are doing sometimes. But it just feels like they're almost like they have the kids because they felt like that's what they were supposed to do. And now they're just like, I'm just waiting for these kids to get to an age where they can do their own things. But man, I'm like, I want my life, I want my kids' lives to be better than mine growing up, even though I think I had a good childhood. I want their lives to be better than mine. I want them to have an easier way. I want them to know more things. I want them to be smarter and stronger and healthier and more confident than I was. I want them to not worry about not worry about other people's feelings so much. I don't mean that to the degree that they don't care how other people feel, but I mean, man, I've been such a, like, I don't know, people pleaser doesn't seem like the word, but guilt ridden at times in my life about things where, you know, sometimes I say stuff now and people get offended by it in the comments, like acting like I don't care about other people, but I'm like, I feel like I'm reaching a place in my life where I kind of feel a little free of my people pleasingness, and that feels good. But I just want my kids to not have any of that. And I know that I can't do everything, but I can do what I can. And I just feel like there is this thing where it's like, I got people that I know personally. Most of the people that I know that are parents, I'm like, this feels great. Their parenting feels great. But I know people that are in different spots, right? They're financially, things are not good, or their significant other, if you could say that, is not around. So they're like a single parent. And things are harder because they have to work. They don't have the time. And as a consequence, they don't have the patience. And maybe they don't have the knowledge of how to raise their children, you know. But for the most part, the people around me, I feel like are into their kids. I don't know. I'm kind of lost here at this point. But I just think there is something to, like, we don't have to make global change to make an impact. We can just make small changes in our own lives, and that's how we can start to see bigger change. If we all, like, you ever throw a piece of trash away in a public trash can, and then you don't make it, and it falls to the ground, and nobody saw, and you thought, well, I'll just leave it. I feel convicted about that now. The moment I do it and I think to myself, I don't want to pick that up. It's a small piece of trash. But nowadays I do it. I pick it up. And the reason that I pick it up is because if I don't pick it up, either it's not going to get picked up or somebody else is going to have to pick it up. And it's my trash, right? So I go pick it up because I don't want to see, like in my neighborhood, if I walk around the cul-de-sac, there'll be trash in places. And I think it's mainly because there's kids out here playing. But I pick it up because I don't want my cul-de-sac to be full of trash. I don't want to live like that. And I feel like if you're in an area and there's trash on the ground, then you respect that area less and you think you can put your trash there too. And you just don't feel happy in there. I think that's why we have to pick up our trash. I think that's why we should grow more flowers. I think if somebody has a beautiful, healthy lawn, I don't even know if it's healthy, but a beautiful lawn, even if they put a bunch of chemicals on it, I think it looks good. I think that's great. But I think more flowers are better because nowadays when I see bees, listen, when I was a kid, I was an insect serial killer. I killed so many insects. I was an insane person. I used to see bees land on flowers on the ground, like on clover, and I would step on the clover with my foot and I would kill the bee. Why? Because I was a psychopath and I was unhappy in a lot of ways. And it brought me a little joy to kill these insects. And I loved doing it. I caught a bunch of grasshoppers one time and I put them in the microwave. I wanted to see how long it would take to kill them. I put grasshoppers in ice trays and froze them. We've all made mistakes, okay? But I don't want to kill anything. The only insect I still kill are roaches. And the only ones I see are the big ones that are from the outside. But I don't want them getting back in, so I kill them. But I don't kill spiders. I don't kill. I've been trapping wasp and carpenter bees when they get caught inside my screened-in porch, and I let them out. I don't kill anything. I'm not about the killing. And I feel sorry for bees. And when I see them now, I love them. I want to give the bees a little hug. I want to let the bees know I'm their friend. And also, I know this is coming towards the end of this whole thing, but I want to talk about the land thing, about people coming to my land to do work, essentially, to camp out, to have a little bit of a retreat. I got a great response. People are really into it, and I'm pumped about it. But they're so into it that I don't know what to do now, because now I feel like, oh, well, this could happen. Now I got to organize it. And I like it. I like it. I think Hannah's a little skeptical of it because we would essentially be inviting strangers, not to our house, but to a place that we do go stay sometimes. But we don't live out there. We're not there a ton. And I don't think we have anything truly valuable out there. I mean, it's insured, and I don't want people stealing from me, but I don't have any real life valuables out there. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know exactly what to do, but I like it. I will say a couple of people mentioned doing something in fall, doing something when it's not so hot. Just so happens, though, it might work the best for me in July to do something like this, which is very hot here. But I have some time off during that time. So that might be when I'm looking to do something. I had a guy, Jesse Rothacker, maybe a listener of the We're Having a Good Time podcast. I'm pretty sure he is. I know he's a Nateland listener. But he came out to, he was in the area, came out to the cabin in McMinnville, and he looked over the land and he said, you know, snakes, what did he say? Not territorial, but they kind of like to stick to one area. And he said he doesn't see any signs of snakes on my property. So that's good. That doesn't mean they won't be there, but that's good. Because when you talk about camping in July, it's hot. And, you know, that's when all the insects and all the snakes are out. My neighbor there also told me he's never seen a snake out in this where he's at. So that's good, too. I would like to do it, though. I'm open to ideas, but here's a couple of things that I'm looking to do. This is the kind of work I'm looking for. I have 40 trees out there, and they're all inside of cages. So what happens is I have to go out there once in a while. I have to open the cages out. I have to clear all the weeds around it. Then I try to put some kind of cardboard down and then some kind of mulch. That works for a while, but eventually, even that, the weeds come up through it. And I don't want to put weed fabric down because I want these the mulch to be able to break down eventually and, you know, feed into the trees. I want the trees to get the food. And so what I want to do is open all of those up and have people help me do that. You know, I think one to two people per cage, they could really knock that out pretty quick. Whereas if I'm doing it by, like, all of the work, if there were enough people, would be not even that hard. But it's just when I'm doing it by myself, I only have one or two days, I work myself to death. And I love it, though. I have a great time. And then, but barely anything gets done. And by the time I am able to make it back out there, the work that I've done already kind of needs the same work again. And I've got others to do. So I think, you know, those sorts of things would be great. Also, what I'd like to do is build some mini swales. There's a guy, Andrew Millison, who I watch videos, and I've referenced him many times, but he has a YouTube channel, and he's out of Oregon State. I think he's a professor at Oregon State, and he talks about in India and in Africa, in the deserts, building these mini swales that almost look like teardrops. And that way, they during monsoon season, they're able to collect more water and help them get through the dry season. And I don't think we have that kind of problem in Tennessee, but a lot of my trees are planted on a hill. The very first trees I planted are on a hill. And I thought it would be nice to build some mini swales with just shovels and stuff around these trees to kind of balance it out. That way, when the water comes down, instead of just rushing right by the tree, it would get caught in that mini swale and then take a little time to soak into the ground. I have the bigger swales that I've done that, you know, I already have that worked out. So I don't think that's as big of a deal, but there are some small ones that I'd love to have a mini swales built around. And then other kind of stuff, it's like, I have a lot of big trees, and over time, the big trees have had these little trees grow up around them, or vines, or various things. And I'd love to just clear that little stuff out, just so that it makes the big trees look better. Then I got another little hill that I've been working to put vegetation on. It was just a red bank, and I could not get anything to grow there. But slowly, I've got things to grow there. And I made a little stepping stone path there, but I made a pretty weak stepping stone path. So I'd like to make a better one. And I think those could be some good projects. I mean, really what I'd like to do is a stepping stone path all the way down the entire hill leading to the creek. But that's could be a huge job. And that may not be the thing to do. But if you are, and I know that a lot of people are interested in all that, but so maybe, you know, maybe I won't have you reach out again, but, just know that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking to do. Oh, a couple other things. I had a bunch of rocks delivered, a bunch of limestone rocks delivered one time, and me and Hannah and Daisy loaded them up on the yard glider, pulled them with the four-wheeler, and dumped them on one of the swales to keep it from eroding away. Now there is another one that needs to be done that same way. I think I would have them dump the rocks in a different area, but would still require moving to the actual swale. And it is hard work, but that may be something else that people could do. And I think it could be fun. We get up in the morning, eat a little breakfast, do a little work, take a lunch break. Go back at it after lunch, do a little work, we laugh, we have a good time. And then at night, you know, make a fire, sing a little kumbaya, eat some food, tell some stories, maybe have some music, have some comedy. I think it could be fun. I think it could be a great time. And this is not something I've ever organized before, but I think it could be fun. I don't know if anybody are legal experts, but may need some, you know, some waivers of some sort so that I, you know, somebody doesn't, I wouldn't have anybody operate power equipment. Maybe there could be a thing where if you bring a chainsaw, you can operate the chainsaw. If you bring a backhoe, but I wouldn't let anybody use any power equipment I have, even though it's all battery operated. Just because, I don't know, it feels like a liability, but I don't know. Well, this is great. This will end up going online, and my hope is that this goes online on Thursday. It goes audio out on Thursday, video out on Thursday. I do the Nateland podcast. That comes out on Wednesdays. I don't want to compete with it. I don't want to try to put it out the same day. But I feel like as far as that goes, it's like they each come out once a week. You got a week to listen to both before the next one comes out. I'm having a good time doing this. I get feedback from people and they say that I'm going to need to, you know, talk about other things. They say your fans that like you, they'll be into you talking about your life and your stories. And other people might, you know, need a little something else. And I do want to mix it up a little bit, but a couple of people have recommended, I forget what it is, but it's an old man with a big beard who smokes a cigar and sits outside and talks. I have watched that guy before. I like that guy. That's fun. That is kind of something that I'd like to do at some point. I want to get a podcast set up out at the cabin, and then when I go out there, maybe try to just record a few episodes of me sitting outside like that. I think there is a real vibe to that that I like, and I will get that going too. But for now, I'm moving forward with the video podcast. I'm very happy with it. I appreciate you watching that. So, okay, well, thank you very much. We're having a good time.